The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to First Bite, the final First Bite of the season, your Lions preview podcast here at Pride of Detroit. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I am the editor-in-chief over at Pride of Detroit. You can find me at Detroit Online on Twitter. With me, as always, my co-host for First Bite, senior editor at Pride of Detroit, who has that as his label if you're watching live here on Twitch. Ryan Matthews is here at Ryan_POD. Ryan, buddy, last go around here.
Yeah, I was worried at how bummed you would be that you could not use the word penultimate anymore. I didn't know if you'd be more bummed about that or the end of Detroit Lions football.
Listen, when the off season is next, that's always the saddest thing because the off season is a horrible, terrible place.
That's a handshake.
That is a handshake
for our visual viewers.
So it's Lions Packers week, and instead of getting a Packers guest, we decided, why would we want to do that? Because full disclosure, we reached out to one Packers guest that we like. They couldn't do it. And then we're like, you know what? Everyone else in Packers land is kind of a jerk. No, thanks. We'll take care of this one on our own.
You know who doesn't deserve the MVP? Packers fans.
Exactly. and plus, like, you know, are we really, we know the pack, everyone knows who the Packers are. Everyone knows how good they're playing right now. Everyone knows how good their offense is, blah, blah, blah. Let's just talk about this game from the Lions point of view, because that's all that we're here for, right? Essentially, we want to see what the Lions will pull out in week 18. Will there be another fake field goal of some sort or a fake punt per tradition in week 17? Now it's week 18. We'll see. But let's start as we always do on the offense. And I guess we got to start at quarterback again, because once again, we're not really sure who's going to be at quarterback this week. Jared Goff did return to practice on Wednesday in a limited fashion, dealing with how he describes as a bone bruise to his knee. No one really sounds completely optimistic that he's going to play, including himself. It's all kind of just like, I don't know, we'll see. And so it does kind of have that 50-50 feeling. Ryan, how big of a difference to you in your interest in watching this game is it between Jared Goff and Tim Boyle?
Well, I want to say that if Jared Goff plays, it exponentially increases my interest in watching this game.
Sure.
And not even that it really matters though, because we don't totally know who's going to be playing on the other side of the ball for the Packers.
Also true.
I don't know this game, man, this game. All
You're
right.
Just ready to get it over too.
Kind of. I will say it is a fair question, though, because it's like, do we really need to see another game of Tim Boyle to know or to know whether or not he is backup quarterback material? I don't know. It's a lot of hard hitting analysis in this one. But
I think it is kind of interesting, like Tim, because Tim Boyle has been highly spoken of this week. Dan Campbell said, you know, said like, I'm encouraged by some of the things I'm seeing. There's something about him, he said. And I kind of want to see what he's seeing. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I want to know what you're seeing. What am I missing? And listen, like last week, he's missing a couple of his best wide receivers. they're in a tough situation where they're playing from behind the entire game, usually by three possessions. So it's not an ideal situation for him. I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. He's part of the reason why they were in the situation they were in. But part of me is like, if I have to sit here and watch Tim Boyle play one more game, I'm not going to throw a hissy fit here. I think there is some value into that. I do think we kind of have to treat this as his rookie season a little bit, because he is so, you know, he got absolutely no experience behind Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And then there's also that kind of factor too, like going against his mentor. If Aaron Rodgers plays in this game, that's kind of a semi neat storyline too, right?
Man, you are doing a great job.
I'm trying to sell this game sell so job. Hard.
Yeah. You know what? It really just dawned on me as you were talking, but we're really talking about this game as if it's like the preseason game we never got.
Yeah.
The final preseason game that was taken away. Yep. This Lions season has come full circle. It truly has. Like, this is, it's week 18, but it does feel like that missing pregame or that missing preseason game. And I'm fine with seeing another game with Tim Boyle. I'm in the same boat as you. It's like, I'm not going to be upset per se, but I would just be more interested in watching the game if Jared Goff could play, because, you know, it's Jared Goff. And I think that as Lions fans, we need to see as much as Jared Goff before we can, you know, have a locked in step opinion of who he is as a quarterback. And I know we've had a really long season. I mean, the record speaks for itself, right? But I don't know. Like, it seems like Jared Goff was kind of hitting a stride. Yeah. If he does get these, you know, Cleef Raymond back and Josh Reynolds and Amon Ross St. Brown and, you know, DeAndre Swift is back and healthy now. So, I mean, he has weapons around him. Like, I want to see another game of Jared Goff operating with, you know, minus TJ Hockenson. There's always a caveat of course. This Lions roster, right?
I mean, like, we haven't gotten to the offensive line yet. Wait for that.
Yeah.
One.
Oh my goodness. But yeah. So to put a bow on this, like, I wouldn't mind seeing Tim Boyle. I'd be fine with it, but I think we'd kind of know how the game would go.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right. And I'm with you. Like, I'd rather see Jared Goff in this game, because I think it was very interesting. Like, the narrative on Jared Goff was mid shifting, like, completely. And then COVID comes, takes away a game from him, and the knee injury lingers into now this week as well. And listen, I want a bigger sample size of Jared Goff. And so if I get one more game of sample size where, like you said, he's got most of his weapons back and continues to be good, maybe I'll start buying into this. Maybe he could be our quarterback of the future. I'm nowhere near there yet, but I am encouraged. Yeah. I am encouraged by him improving, and you have to take a lot of things into account. Him getting more weapons in the second half of the season, Dan Campbell taking over play calling, him just getting used to the system. Like, it's a new system for him. I don't want to call it a rookie year for him, but it is year one for him in a new system. So yeah, if it takes him a couple months to get acclimated, like, that makes sense. That's a possible explanation for why things were so bad at the beginning. But at the same time, a lot of the flaws that we saw in that first half of the season were some of the things we saw in LA too. So that's why I'm certainly holding back my expectations. But yeah, I think I'd love to see Jared Goff in this game. Love to see him, you know, be a competitor, fight through injury, something that he's done before in his career. But at this point, it looks like about a 50-50 shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, just another quick aside, rewind the tape back to the first quarter of the season. We're having discussions about how the offense is changing up the verbiage because they're trying to simplify and strip everything down.
Right.
I mean, I'm with you, like, in the sense that, like, by no means am I sold on Jared Goff being the future of the franchise at quarterback, but I'm interested in seeing more of what, like, the last quarter of the season Jared Goff has become.
Yeah. And if that is something that's sustainable or something that we just saw flashes of.
Yeah,
we'll get to see add another chapter in his story here. But let's move on to the running game. Like you mentioned, Swift is back. Swift was back last week, only featured 6 touches in that game. Not very, not really expected. But this is the first time, I think, in several months where he's not even on the injury report to start the week. So, you know, maybe they just needed to give him one game to ease in, and they'll give him the rock. This game is that. Is that what you're expect? I'm sure that's what you're hoping happens, because we all want to see Swift with this, you know, new and improved offense. But is that what you're expecting to see?
I don't know if I'm expecting to see that. I don't know if I'm expecting to see more of what happened in Seattle where he's lining up in the slot and lining up out wide. I don't know if that was a Tim Boyle thing. I don't know if that was a DeAndre Swift thing. I don't know if that's, hey, the Lions think they have three running backs that can all potentially be, you know, Swift and Jamal Williams, obviously. But I mean, where does Jamar Jefferson fit into all of this? Where does, you know, Craig Reynolds fit into all of this? It's, I mean, they're interesting questions. I think I'm more intrigued by how they utilize these running backs in the season finale, probably more than anything when it comes to offense, because we're going to talk about it in a minute, but this offensive line is certainly going through it. So, I mean, if there's a game where if there's a game where you're going against another team's B squad on defense, it might be the game where you want to see what the running backs can do with a lesser offensive line.
Yeah. And to me, there doesn't seem to be any indication that the Lions will treat this like a preseason game and get some guys that haven't had a chance to get a chance. So I would not expect to see Jamar Jefferson in this game, because at this point, it seems like Craig Reynolds has jumped him on the depth chart.
Right.
And not that that's a good or bad thing. Seventh round pick, like, that's kind of what you expect. If your seventh round pick can make it on your roster the entire season, like, that's almost a win, because that's not guaranteed for anybody. And with all the, you know, movements, if he's not on the practice squad, like, that's, you did okay. And we'll see, like, they continue to talk him up and say, you know, he needs to improve on special teams, and that doesn't happen overnight. So I think I would expect him to be inactive again, a healthy scratch. But yeah, I don't know what happens with Swift. I feel like you got to give him some reps. Like, there's nothing to wait for at this point. Like, you gotta just see, like, what he can do back there. And, you know, I think this is his first carry last week, go for 30 yards. I don't know if that was his first carry or it was an end of half draw. So it was kind of like a give up play at the same time, but it's just kind of funny that it worked out that way.
Yeah. This is why I was kind of so confused at the way they utilized Swift last week. Is like, this is a guy who's dealt with a lot of injuries throughout his career.
Yeah.
And I understand, on one hand, you want to get the guy reps, you want to get him out there, you want to get him some work. But at the same time, we talk about the running back position being such a volatile one in terms of health and things like that in this league. You almost want to assume, and I know you more than anybody, Jeremy, wants to assume that the Lions are pretty set at the running back position.
I would hope so.
They have four guys going into next season that should all be in the mix. And do you really need more than four guys going into training camp if you know you have guys who have produced? And Swift is a guy who I'm totally comfortable with him being the starter next season. So I was a little, you know, I was just a little bit perplexed as to why he was out on the field doing what he was doing. But it also seemed like if that's going to be the approach, I don't know why it would change going into this week, because it seemed like they kind of just wanted to see what they had.
Sure. Yeah. And I guess it's also worth noting in this matchup in particular, Packers, as per usual over the last few years, their run defense is not good. And if we had a Packers writer on here, he would say that's by design, which, whatever, I'm not going to buy that. But it provides an opportunity for the Lions to do what they want in this game, in what they've wanted to do all season, which is limit possessions, you know, run 9-minute drives, keep this low scoring and stay in it. And it's exactly what they did in week two against the Packers the first time around. So, you know, even if the Packers give it them all, I think this isn't going to be one of those games where they just get completely blown out of the water. I feel like they can work their game plan. It's just a matter of who they're going to run out there at running back. And then there's also the issue of the offensive line, which I think we should probably get into now, with Decker and Sewell currently on the reserve COVID. That means Matt Nelson and who am I forgetting is the other guy? I don't know. Some other guy. It's worth noting that those guys got put on the COVID reserve list on Monday, which means there is a route for them to come back. If they're basically feeling healthy enough on Saturday, they can be activated under the new rules. Doesn't matter if they're vaccinated or unvaccinated, but I believe they're both vaccinated on the record saying that. Will Holden, thank you, chat. The edges, though, when you think of a run game, you think of your guards and your centers as being the most important positions to establishing that run. But Penei Sewell has been one of the best run blockers on the team. And you knew getting him that was going to be a strength, and Taylor Decker is no slouch at that either. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. They've been having to deal with these reserve tackles all year because, you know, tight end issues, and they really like going jumbo packages, but now those guys might have to start as well. And not that, you know, some of these guys haven't started. We've seen Matt Nelson plenty of times this year. He filled in for Decker on the right side. But I don't know, like this seems to be taking the offensive line issues to an extreme here. If this is how it goes, obviously, you know, Frank Ragnow in this game, even Jonah Jackson is battling an injury, popped up. I think it was an elbow injury, but doesn't seem like his status is up in the air yet. We'll see how the injury report progresses, but I don't know. The Packers defensive line is okay. Preston Smith is having a pretty good year. So is Rashawn Gary. Za'Darius Smith is still on IR, so I'm probably not going to deal with him, but I don't know, man. I don't feel great about this matchup. If the top two tackles can't go, certainly don't feel great for the quarterback's production of, you know, depending on who's, regardless of who's back there. But I guess how big of a loss is it if these tackles can't go, and how bad do you expect it to get for the Lions offense, I guess?
Dude, man, like, it's just, it's where we started the conversation. Like, it just feels like a preseason game. It really does. And I know that the Lions coaching staff isn't going to treat it that way. And I don't think we need to do any more talking about it, but like, if you're going to bring DeAndre Swift back, that guy's your starting running back going into next season. So it seems like if a guy can play like Jonah Jackson, who's dealing with an injury right now, I'm assuming that he's probably going to play.
Yeah.
You know, if they can get Decker and Sewell back, like, those guys are going to play. And I would like to see their offensive line as healthy as possible going into this game, because again, the most interesting storyline to me in this game is like, how are they going to deploy those running backs? How are they going to use them? Throw Amon-Ra St. Brown into the mix, man.
Hey,
he's another running back himself, right?
It's a great trend. I'll let you finish your point, but that was a great transition to the wide receiver, which we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. Let's just get into it, because I mean, the Lions are getting Khalif Raymond back.
Yep.
Josh Reynolds.
Yep. Probably more importantly, Josh Reynolds, which is nice. Yep. We haven't seen really, I mean, maybe that's something that Tim Boyle was a quarterback that was unafraid of pushing it down in the field in the preseason and in training camp, but we haven't really seen him do it that much since, you know, being a starter. You know, there was that start in Cleveland that was just, you know, Jared Goff first half of the season, don't throw it more than 5 yards down on the field. But now that he's got someone like Josh Reynolds there, if it's Boyle, maybe that unlocks something that we haven't seen in the past couple of weeks. And then Amon-Ra, I mean, what can we say about Amon-Ra? Like, he's going for a couple Lions records. I think he's only 14, 15 yards away from setting the rookie receiving record, for a Lions rookie. And then, one more game where he gets eight catches would set a record for any NFL player, I believe, any Lions player. Calvin Johnson has done 5 once. I don't believe Calvin Johnson ever had 6 games where he caught 8 passes or more. So a lot on the line there. And I mean, I said it during last week's game, like, the Lions could be losing by 50, but if I get to watch Amon-Ra St. Brown make some plays, like, it's not a bad day.
Oh, absolutely. That's why, when the Lions are getting just totally outworked, totally outmanned, getting trounced in Seattle, and Amon-Ra makes that one play out of the backfield, it's like, all right, Lions are down 10, baby. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, so he has become, I mean, fodder for a lot of people, certain articles that are out there. Like, he's the reason why people are interested in, I think, even tuning into the Lions at this point. Like, if you're a Lions fan and Jeremy's doing his best job to sell this game to you right now, we really buried the lead, because it's really just like, hey, what can Amon-Ra St. Brown do in this game to, you know, wow you, or to be like, you know what, I'm so excited about next season, because that guy is going to be on the team that I root for. So, you know, I don't think it really matters what wide receivers line up for Tim Boyle, because he's just he feels like a human shotgun. Like, it's just, I mean, he's going to load up and he's going to shoot, and it's going to go somewhere. You're not entirely sure where it's going to end up, but I mean, any intrigue in like Trinity Benson at all in this game? Like,
I don't think he's going to play. Like,
with those two guys coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see a role for him. And I think Kadarrell Hodge has won the battle between those two you know, early season additions. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Trinity Benson gone. Like, I mean, I almost kind of hope so. I almost hope that, you know, Brad Holmes is the kind of guy that can admit a mistake like that. And, you know, you obviously don't want him to make that mistake in the first place, but you don't want to keep holding on to that mistake. And nothing against Trinity Benson. And, you know, maybe he does improve, and maybe he is doing stuff in practice that they're just waiting to see on the field. And you hold on to him for one more season to just see if that can come out on Sundays. But I don't think you see any Trinity Benson on Sunday. I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. And I mean, when we say like Trinity Benson, the mistake of of acquiring Trinity Benson, you just have to remember where the Lions wide receiver core was at the beginning of the season. Yeah. You know,
they had to try anything, right?
They really did. And, you know, giving up a fifth and a seventh, and they got Denver's sixth round. Yeah. Next year, or 2 years from now in 2023. Man, you just have to be happy with the progress that group has made.
Everyone else essentially.
When they're really building the plane while it's in the air, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Two other quick notes. Brock Wright back. Who would have thought that was a key guy to get back? Because now we have a tight end that I can currently name on the roster again. And then the other note on St. Brown is, don't forget, it's brotherly rivalry week with the St. Browns.
Yeah. The Packers St. Brown has what, almost a catch per game.
You really didn't want to say his name, did you?
No. Do you want to say it?
Equanimeous, I think. I'm going to go Equanimeous.
Okay, cool. Packers St. Brown, the inferior version. I would rather see Matt Nelson at tight end than Brock Wright.
What?
Yeah, I'm Brock Wright.
He's not that bad.
He's Jeremy. He's
quick. Name either of the tight ends that played last week.
Zylstra didn't play, did he?
Nope, he's on IR.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. All right. With that, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Lions defense, things we are watching to see in the Lions season finale 2021, even though it's already 2022. We'll be right back.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we are back here on First Bite discussing the Lions' final essentially a preseason game, final regular season game, previewing Lions, Packers. with my buddy Ryan Matthews, senior editor of Pride of Detroit. Let's talk about the Lions defense, if we have to. Coming off a game which they gave up over 50 points. Technically, I guess we don't have to do anything, Ryan, but
the show demands it.
The show does demand it. Where do we start here, Ryan? You want to just start up? Let's start up front, because Levi Onwuzurike has been a huge topic of conversation this week. Dan Campbell goes on the radio on Tuesday, says, you know, it's been inconsistent, been a little disappointing, took a step back last week. Actually said that about Derek Barnes, but, you know, Lions are coming off a game which they were completely gashed on the ground. People are starting to pay attention now to Levi specifically and wondering, why haven't we seen more from him, either as a pass rusher, either as a run defender, really of anything. It's just inconsistencies, and really just kind of bad play. So I guess I don't know how to form this into a question, but I guess how important is this final game for you about him to hopefully go into 2022, changing that narrative a bit?
Yeah. I think it's just an important game from the standpoint that I would like to see Levi continue to see his workload increase. And mm-hmm. that's something that we've seen over the past few weeks due to necessity, just with injuries and everything like that happening up front. You know, last week, Michael Brockers being out.
Yeah.
So you get some more Levi. I just think it's important that he gets more reps. Like I think he's kind of like the antithesis of what I feel like about DeAndre Swift. Like, I don't really need to see any more DeAndre Swift. But I definitely do want to see more Levi Onwuzurike. Like, I think that for all of those Lions players that we were so interested in seeing on this defense who didn't get a chance to, like, you know, the Jeff Okudas and the Romeo Okwaras of the world, it's good to see these guys get the reps that they need, because I think that's important going into the 2022 season. And obviously probably the biggest thing for him is just, you know, getting right and being healthy in the next season. But, you know, these snaps are really valuable. And I think that goes to the point that Dan Campbell was kind of making at the end of that Seattle game. Like, he was playing to get player snaps.
Yeah.
You know, he's using his timeouts. Yeah. So I think that's very important. I want to hear your thoughts on Derek Barnes, though, because I feel like for as much as people have been talking about Levi this week, I think Derek Barnes has been the bigger topic of conversation just because of the expectations that he drummed up for himself in the preseason.
Yeah. Just a quick note on Levi too, just with Michael Brockers back, I am curious exactly how much he will get in terms of playing time. Do you scale Brockers back? Do you scale Nick Williams back? Or do you kind of go back to the way things were, where Levi was only getting about 30, 40% of snaps instead of over 50?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say Levi got 50% of snaps last week. So,
Derek Barnes is also right there in that conversation, because he was also someone that Campbell talked about and said he's the one that he said specifically took a step back last week. And the elephant in the room here is that the Packers have one of the most efficient running games in the league right now. And that's not what you want to see after getting just torn apart by the Seahawks last week. So it's not a particularly good matchup, but I do think, you know, the shine that was on Derek Barnes, I feel like expectations for Derek Barnes have been scaled way back this year, because I think he went into that preseason and went into training camp, you know, making play after play and flashing and flashing and flashing. And then, you know, he's jumped by Jalen Reeves-Maybin on the depth chart. And even Tavante Beckett is getting some playing time over him in certain situations. And now it's like, okay, maybe we need to remember this is the fourth round pick that didn't play linebacker, off ball linebacker until the final year at Purdue. And maybe it's taking him a little bit to kind of, you know, I thought Dan Campbell had an interesting analogy on the radio. He said, you know, he's the kind of guy, and this is true of most rookies, where you can't tell him that the fire is hot. He's the one that has to put his hand in the fire first to learn from his mistakes. And so all this is very much a learning process for Derek Barnes. But I think the hope was that we'd see a little bit more out of him at this point in his career. Not calling him a bust, not saying he can't be a future starter, but I think expectations needed to be. I mean, we said it at the beginning, right? Like, when the Lions made the decision to move on from Jamie Collins, a lot of people were like, this is it. This is all we needed. This is all the defense needed. Like, get Derek Barnes in there and everything's going to turn around. And at the time, I think we were both like, let's be a little more guarded in Derek Barnes. And I do think linebackers is also one of the tougher positions to learn as a rookie. So you know, I'm hopeful for him still, but I don't think you can go into 2022 assuming that guy is going to be a starter. I think there's still a bit of a learning curve he needs to hit, and you hope that he eventually becomes a starter. If not, you know, he's got kind of got the motor of a good special teams guy if it comes to that, and probably a guy that you'd like coming off the bench. But he's going, his year one to year two jump might be one of the most important that we see from this rookie class.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who just has been getting little bits of work here and there all throughout the season. And I think that was the most puzzling when, like you said, when Jamie Collins, you know, exited the team, it seemed like, okay, Derek Barnesheim. But, right, you know, within the past 4 weeks, Jeremy, starting with the Denver game, 47 snaps against Arizona, and then 40 snaps against Seattle. Like, those were his highest totals of the season. Yeah. When it comes to snap count. So, I mean, it really took a full season for him to start earning, you know, more snaps and more opportunities. But I don't think it's concerning though. Like, I'm totally on board with just, like, I think Levi and I think that Derek are two guys that are going to come back next season. And it's, we're not going to talk about like, oh man, like, you know, are they on the fringe of like making the roster, or are they like, you know, are they fringe players in terms of playing time? I think that these guys are both players that you kind of want to have earmarked for playing time in 2022.
You'd certainly hope so. You know, they came in very excited about both those guys. And the one thing I'm kind of interesting to see this week is we've seen in the past, you know, Dan Campbell kind of give some of these players a little kick in the pants a little bit through the media. Yeah. And it's kind of worked a lot of times, you know, it worked with Jared Goff. And, you know, I think some people might get rubbed the wrong way when Campbell does something like this, but personally, like, I don't know, the language he uses, it's very honest, but it never sounds offensive to me, because
yeah, sound like personal or
no. Yeah. And he always, you know, he's also very clear. Like, we have high hopes for these guys. We, you know, we haven't given up on any of these guys. He's never said anything like that. And so all of his criticisms feel calculated, I guess is the best way. It's either calculated or just him being genuine, which
being honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Which he has been all season. Right. So maybe it's a little bit of both. And so I'm interested to see if either of them kind of steps up to the plate this week with that extra motivation. But again, tough matchup against a pretty good Packers offense that does just about everything well.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, who knows what Packers offensive players will show up for this one. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe, you know, transitioning to the secondary, maybe somebody's not going to get stuck on Davante Adams for an entire game. Hopefully Fatu Melifonwu has an opportunity to guard somebody who isn't, you know, maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL.
But is there part of you that wants to see that matchup anyways? Because, I mean, we saw it for a half in week two. And if he held his own, is a part of you that's like, hey, let's do round two, just see what happens.
Not really.
Like, okay, fair enough.
I kind of want the kid to have some confidence after sure. his last game of the
season. That's fair. I mean, that's a fair point. I don't think we're at a point where, like, you're going to break his spirit with another matchup for Davante Adams. But yeah, like, you'd love to see him go into 2022 with a good performance, build some momentum.
Is yeah, that what you're waiting baby. For? That's what I was tickling my fingers about. So I don't know. Like, I'm excited to see Melifonwu again assume like the responsibility of being CB1 for another weekend. But I think that there's some other interesting things that we can take from this game, in the sense that, like, you know, Will Harris,
sure,
like, going to be a cornerback again, going to be a part of this team's future? ? I who knows? Especially with like the emergence of, you know, Jerry Jacobs, and, you know, hopefully getting Okuda back and healthy. And I know we're talking about like going into next season, but I think that's like more so than the defense. Or I'm sorry, more so than the offense. I think there's so many moving pieces on the defense that, like, I'm more interested to see them play than the offense, just because it's like, it truly does feel like another preseason game where like a guy can go out there and put out some tape.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, I'm like, I don't really want to see any more Michael Brockers. I don't really want to see. It's nothing against Michael Brockers, but like even like Charles Harris, it's like,
yeah,
I don't really need to see Charles Harris. Like, I know that Charles Harris had an incredible, he had an incredible season. That guy's going to get a bag, but it's like, I want to see more guys who are going to factor into next season. I think there's less of those guys on offense and there's more of those guys on defense.
That's, yeah, I think that's probably fair. Although if I'm being completely honest, I don't think you're going to get what you want.
Bummer.
I mean, it's just the way they've been operating all season, right? Like,
yeah,
they're giving some rookies opportunities, but they're having to earn it. And I feel like you're going to have to earn it over Michael Brockers. If you're going to play this week, you're going to have to earn it over Will Harris if you want to play corner this week or whatever. The last thing I want to say about personnel, and then we'll get into the one thing we think we know, which I haven't even thought about yet. So I hope you go long on yours so I can think about it. Tracy Walker. There's a non-zero chance this is his last game as a Detroit Lion. It's had a good year. It's tapered off a bit towards the end, and you have to probably figure in, you know, having a worse secondary around you probably has something to do with him not having as many explosion plays. But I guess one, what do you hope to see out of Tracy Walker in this finale? And do you think there's a legitimate chance this is his last game as in a Lions uniform?
I mean, I don't think I can say that it is or it isn't. It almost feels like you want to. I just haven't heard enough of the coaching staff talk about Tracy Walker, and maybe I've been kind of, you know, just deaf to that talk. But like,
there hasn't been a ton.
I might ask him
about it tomorrow. I have to ask Aaron and Glenn about it. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good question to ask him is, you know, what have you noticed about, you know, Tracy's play,
yeah,
you know, over the past quarter of the season? Because like you said, it did kind of taper off, and you wonder how much of that has to do with, you know, the revolving door and the rest of the secondary. But I he's a guy where it's like, I would like him back because I think that like in a fortified secondary where you have the pieces, I think that he's a net positive in that situation. I think it's just kind of tough for him in the role that he plays because, like you said, we haven't seen a lot of splash plays out of Tracy Walker because, you know, things have been kind of limited. So do you want Tracy Walker back? I know the answer is always at the right price, but like,
of course with anybody, I would say that's right. Probably the answer, but yeah, no, I think he's got, I think he's shown enough this year where you can feel comfortable with him as a starter. You know, he hasn't been outstanding. He isn't the PFF number two safety anymore. I feel like you can see he understands the game pretty well. He's a pretty solid tackler. You know, at times he'll take an aggressive angle that gets him in trouble, but I kind of like that mentality. And I really think the Lions do too, is that aggressive mentality that I'm going to make a play from across the field. Even if he's overestimating his own talent or underestimating the offensive player's talent, it's that ball hawking, it's on me to make a play attitude that I think it resonates with his coaching staff. And he's got a lot of talent to go with that mentality. So I think he's back. I feel like it's a pretty easy re-sign and all its signs indicate that he likes it here. So, but like you said, like it's nothing's guaranteed right now. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see on him, I guess.
I think the way that I feel about Tracy Walker, and it goes back to that net positive comment that I made, mm-hmm. is that if you subtract him, I mean, that's just another hole that the Lions have to fill. And I feel like Tracy Walker is somebody worth having on your defense. So,
yeah,
I don't know. As Brad Holmes tries to plug as many holes in this boat, you know, I don't feel like it's worth, you know, uncorking one more by letting Tracy Walker go.
That's a good point. All right. Hopefully that long conversation on Tracy Walker got you some time to think, because it is time to move to the one thing we think we know about week 18, our first ever week 18 edition of the one thing we think we know. Lions, Packers. What is the one thing you think you know about this game, Ryan?
I think the one thing I think I know about Lions, Packers in week 18 is that next season, this game is going to mean a lot more.
What a cop-out answer that is.
Here's the one thing I think I know, truly and honestly. Like, the one thing I think I know is that regardless of the outcome of this game, like, Dan Campbell's in a good spot. You know what I mean? Like, sure. I haven't felt this good at the end of a season in a very long time. I mean,
crazy to say.
Yeah, it's crazy to say, but it's been at least take it back to 2016. It's been over five seasons, you know, yeah. And it feels good to at least like know that things are heading in the right direction, regardless of the outcome of this game, regardless of the fact that the Lions could end up being at best a three and a half win team.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But yeah, we talked about this, I think, off air a little bit, but it's like, I hate to see this season go just as it was getting interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of setting me up. It's almost like I was going to talk about superhero movies, but I won't do that. So Jeremy, I've rambled long enough. I've done this just for you.
Yeah. Appreciate
that. I want to hear now, what's the one thing you think you know about Lions Packers?
The one thing I think I know about Lions Packers is that the Lions will not run one trick play. They will run two trick plays.
Thank God. Then what reason do I have to watch?
No, I mean, come on. Like this, it feels like a perfect opportunity. You hear players say it all the time. Like one thing about the final game of the season, it's the last time that all of those players are going to be together. It's the last time that, you know, it'll be the first year in a rebuild. It's something. And you can hear the way Dan Campbell's talked this week. He believes in year to year momentum. He believes in ending on a high note and having getting to sit with that last game for 6, 7, 8 months. So I think he's going to pull out a lot of stops in this one. And I think they're going to put on a show in some sort of way. I wouldn't pick them to win this game. And I'm still a little curious about the 2.5 point line favoring the Packers, but I think this is going to be a fun game in some way. And I think a couple trick plays is probably the easiest way to do that.
If we get to see Sewell and Decker healthy and off the COVID list and on the field on Sunday, I want to see whoever the quarterback is. I want to see that tackle drop back behind the quarterback. Either Boyle or Goff goes to Sewell, and then Sewell goes to Decker for a touchdown. That's the trick play that I want to see.
Amon-Ra throwing a touchdown. He's gotten a touchdown just about every other way. Amon-Ra throwing a touchdown.
Do you know something that we don't know? Is Amon-Ra throwing the ball around to practice?
Listen, I haven't even been to a practice in two. They won't let us in the building anymore because of the new COVID protocol. So I don't know anything.
You know nothing, but I mean,
that was a fake wink. And I don't actually know anything.
I was going to say, we could do a little educated guessing. I mean, he has probably the best wide receiver coach who could teach him quarterback things in the league, right? Antoine Randall-El.
That's a great point. Connecting here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, dude, we're really at the end of the season.
All right. I think that's probably the best way to end it.
This is it, man.
This is it. This is the last one. We'll have some sort of version of first bite in the off season. You know, tackling the draft, tackling free agency, that sort of stuff. We'll try to keep it at two podcasts a week, just to keep you guys engaged, to keep you guys informed, entertained, whatever you want, whatever you get from these podcasts, we're going to try to continue to give it to you. But for all of you that have stuck around through the entire 2021 season, we appreciate you. We hope you've enjoyed all these first bites. Ryan's got something to say, I think.
I want to send us off if you let me.
I'm afraid to do this, but I'm going to give you the floor for the final first bite of the 2021 season. Go.
And with that, everybody, with great power comes great responsibility.
I knew I shouldn't have done it.